Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And we just want to start and acknowledge that we are in a position to take authority over all interference in our individual lives and beyond. But we start with taking authority over all interference in our lives, whether it's sent or invited, foreign or domestic, even if it's something we don't know about. We take authority over it. You can't interfere with anything that the Lord is doing in our lives right now. If you have a legal right to be here, you're just going to sit in the corner and be quiet while God does his thing. If you don't have a legal right to be here, we just send you away. You must go where Jesus sends you. So we have taken authority over all interference. And so we come to the Lord. Lord, you know what each of our needs are. And I ask you right now to meet those needs on your terms and by whatever means you choose. You know what we need. We don't. So we put those needs in your hands. And we just ask that whatever it is we need, whether it's encouragement, healing, information, power, whatever it is, we ask that you provide that. And Lord, we embrace what you have for us tonight and every day. And we accept your great love for us and your graciousness toward us, that there's nothing we can do to deserve or even receive the love you have already given us. That in you, all our needs are already met. All the information we could possibly ever need, all the power, all the confidence is already in our spirit. And we ask that you teach us how to appropriate what we already have and make it real in our soul. Lord, bring us into that oneness, that wholeness that you desire for us, that we would be whole, spirit, soul, and body, united as one in you. Lord, we have that confidence and excitement about what you have planned for us as individuals, as a community, a family, whatever our situation is, you have good things planned for us. Give us the eyes to see what you're doing. Not so we can even tell others or teach or as a revelation, but so that we can see things from your perspective, from a spiritual perspective now. And we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. We thank you for ahead of time for what you're doing in our lives, in our communities, our families, our countries, in this world. The time ahead, you have so many surprises set aside for us. And we anticipate being ready. Lord, make us ready for what you have for us. We don't want to be dragged kicking and screaming into the next thing. We want to be ready and enjoy the ride. Either way, we know we're going to be there. We want to be there the easiest way. We know we're going to enjoy what you have for us. because we know you love us. So, Lord, do what you want to do in each one of our lives. We give you permission. In our spirit, we have already agreed to everything you're doing, and we acknowledge that now, that we have already agreed to what you're doing in our lives, in our families, our community, and our countries and the world. You know what's best for your purposes, and your purposes are good because you love us. Take what you're hearing to the Lord and ask him what is for you. Our goal is to get to know him. And sometimes we get so afraid of talking to him the wrong way, praying the wrong way, saying the wrong things. But the more time you spend with him, the easier it will be, because you can be yourself. There's no proper formula. We're just giving you a starting point. This is how it works in this situation as a starting point. You have your starting point. Just go with it. The patterns we're setting out are for you to build on for your own relationship with God, learning how to exercise the authority that you have now, how to ask him to heal your wounds now, how to give you that encouragement you need now. And you're, by doing that, you're simply joining your spirit that is already doing that, that is already embracing everything God has for you. So it's not a matter of that if you don't do it, God's not going to be there for you. No, he's there. But your soul isn't enjoying that relationship that he wants and that, yes, you do want. So we've been talking about knowing God. We've been talking about relationship and healing and dependence, and that we make room in our lives for him to reveal himself, and that as we give him priority, there's no stopping him. And he makes way, he makes room in our lives by drawing us, by giving us a thirst and a hunger. And our goal really is to become more and more aware of his drawing. But what knowing God is not. Knowing God is not going to necessarily be measured by what we've been taught by others, even this teaching. Because knowing God, knowing him objectively, personally, not just by being taught, okay, this is what God is, this is who he is, this is what he's done in the past, and this is what he's promised to do in the future. That's knowing about him. We want to experience him. Unfortunately, much of what we've learned and what others have learned has just been passed along, never having been tried or tested on a personal or practical level. We can know all about God or a subject or a person and never have experienced God or the subject or the topic or the person. I've had that experience in surprising situations where there'll be pastors at a conference that come to the Lord. Ministers, teachers that have an encounter with Christ that they've never had before. They knew all about him. They had gone to seminary and they were knew all the right answers to say when they come up for credentials. But they've never had an encounter with him. And it's fascinating and kind of scary that that's fairly common. And I say that so you can not look to how others do it, how others learn it, how others know God. God is big enough to reveal himself to you the way he wants you to know him. It's not, the burden is not on you getting from God what you need, but being available to receiving what he wants to give you. Do you believe he loves you? If he loves you, it's his job to make himself real to you. And he does that in a variety of ways. By showing us our need for him, our need for healing, for wisdom, for guidance. Those aren't things that God makes us have so we will be burdened, but that so we will need him and turn to him so he can make himself known. But even when someone that we have looked up to, a teacher, passes along their experiences like that, because you are unique and God seeks a unique experience with you, sharing in someone else's relationship is no substitute for developing your own relationship. It's great to read about other people's experiences and say, oh, that's really cool, I want that. That's perfect, that's fine. But go to him, go to God. God, is that something you want me to experience right now? He may say yes, he may say no. The whole point is you went to the source. You went to God. God, what do you want from me right now? So much of what God is doing in your life is to get your attention. And you say, well, what do you mean? He has my attention. I go to church 4 times a week. I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading these other books. We're going to go to a conference. We're constantly talking about God. Yes, those are all things that fill your time, but God isn't necessarily in them. You're not having that one-on-one time. And when we prioritize and ask him, Lord, is there an area of my life that needs to be adjusted? Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But you then put the responsibility back into his hands. And then you can move forward in whatever situation you're in, knowing that if he wants to steer you, guide you in a different direction, you're cooperating with him, and it's his job to make that change or fill that need by himself. It's his job then, and it's not your job trying to get the information you need from him. Jealous over each of us. And when he's created an aspect of our life, arranged circumstances to show us our need, when we turn to something else instead of turning to him, that's where that jealousy comes in. By jealous, I don't mean like a petty jealousy that like us humans get. And yet, guess where it comes from? If we've got it, it came from God. It's there. He is entitled to our attention. He is God. And when we don't give it to him, he takes matters into his own hands. He will not be denied in your life. And again, we've talked so many times, how does he do that? There's those three areas in our lives that he draws our attention to, through finances, through health, and through, I forget the third one. So he draws our attention in practical ways so that when we are seeing things like this going on in our lives, or relationships, when we see the areas in our lives that, especially if we keep going through them over and over again, like going around the same mountain, odds are God's just trying to get your attention in that area. It's not that you need to do it better or right, or you didn't learn something. He's just trying to get your attention in an area. And then when you give your attention, odds are he's going to say, okay, now speak to that mountain that it be removed. So it's not a matter of getting over the mountain or getting to the top, but remove it. He is jealous over you. He doesn't like us rejecting what he is doing through our spirit. Your soul is still trying to maintain control, and he will not let that happen. It's not that he hates your soul, but your soul has, he gave you the soul he wanted you to have. He loves your soul. It's exactly what he wanted you to have for this time. But it's working outside its authority. It's your soul is doing God's job. God is saying, uh-uh. Get off the throne. This is mine. And when we start to recognize how often that happens in a practical sense, in a practical during our day, during our lives, he starts to make us very sensitive of when we are trying to do things our way, when we're trying to be God in our own lives. So that jealousy over a reality that he is the God, he will go to amazing lengths to get our individual attention and our individual affection, our individual recognizing of who and what he is for us. Now, much of what is taught from those in ministry positions is often a consolidation of what they have learned or what they have researched and constructed in a marketable and professional and hopefully well-presented manner. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with research and constructing and marketing in a professional and well-presented manner, unless God is not in it. Unless they're relying on that research and professionalism and marketing to be a substitute for the living presence of God. Again, there's no guarantee that just because someone has gone to seminary or is ordained or is accepted and credentialed by an organization or group, that what they are teaching is truth. Living truth, eternal life. So it is each of our responsibility to learn to hear the voice of God for ourselves. to learn how to learn from the Lord directly, so that each of us is able to differentiate between things, concepts, ideas, direction that may be true, that may be reasonable, logical, practical, and something that is from God, that is living truth. We could think about some of the examples in the Old Testament. There's no way you would think that God would, any God in his right mind, would have people do what he had people do. And yet God likes to show off. And the only way we can know him on those terms is to let him be the God. Again, the more time we spend with him, the more time, the more we will be able to cooperate with him. He is changing us, healing us, giving us the confidence and encouragement we need, and direction for when we need to make changes. God wants us to know him. Think about that. What does God want? God wants you to know him. God is often misunderstood because we don't know and understand why and how he does what he does. So if we come to try to hear him, and we already have a preconception that is wrong, for instance, oh, God wants to judge the world because of all the sin in it. He already did that. That's done. He's already crossed that off his list. But if we think that that's what he's doing, that is going to cloud not only the questions we bring to him, but what we hear from him. It will be distorted. Now, none of us hear him perfectly. None of us see him perfectly. None of us is perfect spirit, soul, and body. And there hasn't been anybody except for Jesus. So we're in process, but that's what the goal is to hear him clearly. If Jesus is the pattern son, what does that look like? Is every need he had was met by his father. He needed to be taught. He needed how to learn obedience. He needed to know how to be encouraged, how to be healed, how to deal with rejection. And his father taught him. His example was he went to his father. He learned how to go to his father, how to hear from him. Likewise, that's what we're doing. So if we have preconceptions, misunderstandings about what God is, what he's doing, about what's on his heart, we're often unable to clearly hear his voice. We're going to misinterpret his direction, and we're not going to be able to respond appropriately. That's in the soulical realm, in the supernatural realm. In the spiritual realm, everything's fine. It's done, it's finished. But our life here, this is our training ground. Fortunately, helping us to know and understand him is high on God's list. That's what he wants. He wants you to know him. And if that's high on his list, to be known clearly and perfectly, one-on-one, if that's high priority on his list, it should be a high priority on ours as well. Not developing a ministry, not even developing our gifts, not changing the world, or praying hard enough to get God to do something, but knowing Him. What is it God wants you to do? Be with Him. The doing comes from being with Him. It's an outflow. It's part of your training. Everything God has done historically has been in movement toward a relationship with us human beings. So everything God has done historically in your life, in your family, has been moving you toward a relationship with Him. He's never done anything in your life to divide you. And then we come along and say, well, what about this that happened and that happened? This made me, you know, turn sour on there being a God at all, and that was His fault. And then we start, well, it can't be God's fault because God is good. So it must be the devil. Or because I have a free will, I caused this problem myself. I missed God and there's nothing we can do. We've talked about addressing all those, about the whole concept of free will, that your will isn't free, it's bound, and but your will is becoming free, and also that every circumstance in your life you've already agreed to for God's purpose. So you can't blame anybody else. Our enemies, the world system, our own soulical hierarchy, and the devil, those are all, God has put those enemies in your life for you. They don't have power over you, but they are there to drive you, to show you your need, to give you an opportunity to exercise your authority in your life. Without them, you wouldn't need God. Without any obstacles in your life, you'd never know your need. Now, since this is all God's idea, relationship, understanding, knowing Him, this is all His idea. He wants you to know Him. That very concept ensures success. He does not start things He hasn't already completed in His spirit reality. If you have any desire to know the Lord at all, you can be confident that it is from the Lord, and He will follow up with you, regardless of your lack of understanding, knowledge, past history, woundedness, or flesh. God wants to know us. And He gets what He wants. So rest assured, if any of what we're talking about, if there's ever a drawing, if there's ever any idea of, that's interesting, that's God stirring up a hunger and a thirst in you. That doesn't come from your soul, because your soul is trying to maintain its own power. Doesn't come from any of your enemies, because they don't want you to know God. So if you have any idea, any desire to know Him, it comes from Him. In and of itself is the guarantee that He will answer that desire. He will respond. He's got it all ready for you. You just open the door. Just ask, Lord, whatever it is, whatever that desire is, I just ask that you fulfill it right now with your presence. Whether it's a need or a desire for something new, stir it up, Lord, in all of us, that we go for everything you have for us now. We thank you for that we are in this time that we're in. There is so much opportunity to know you. And, Lord, don't let us miss anything that you have for us. We thank you in advance. We know it's all because you love us and want to be one with us. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting together again next time, the same time. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.